Perfect. Perfect. Good on you, Jeff. Stick around after the news at 8 o'clock. We've got our legend of the game this week. It is the great Gary Badge Belcher.
Suicide bombing in the Afghan capital Kabul, which has killed more than 60 people. The attack targeted a protest march by thousands of members of the ethnic Hazara minority. There appears to be two explosions. An eyewitness says it was supposed to be a peaceful protest.
We were holding a peaceful demonstration when I heard a bang, and then everyone was escaping and yelling. I saw many people were killed and most of them were covered with blood. There was nobody to help the victims. Policemen were looking at us, and after that I heard gunshots. Then I don't know what happened.
A gunman is still at large after controversial sports scientist Stephen Dank's house was peppered with bullets. The 52-year-old, who was grazed by a bullet in the early hours of yesterday morning, says he has his suspicions why his home was shot at. Dank was given a life ban by the AFL Anti-Doping Tribunal last year for his role in doping violations against 34 current and past Essendon players. A manhunt is underway on the Gold Coast after a man was shot in the stomach during an attempted car robbery on the Gold Coast. The 48-year-old man was shot in the abdomen when he confronted a man trying to break into his car outside a Gavin home just before midnight on Saturday. The shooter fled on foot and police say they have not yet found him. The victim was taken to hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. A motorcyclist has died after being found some 120 metres away from his crashed bike in Victoria. Police were called when passers-by discovered an abandoned motorcycle in Delacombe shortly after 11 last night. The 22-year-old man was then found by police some distance from his bike. He died at the scene. Police think he was thrown from his bike and struck a street sign. One man is dead and another is in hospital after a collision between a motorcycle and a car south of Newcastle. The 33-year-old motorcyclist died at the scene of the crash in Catherine Hill Bay after his bike collided with a car yesterday afternoon. The 19-year-old male driver of the car was uninjured. A second motorcyclist was injured following the initial impact. Police said he was taken to hospital with a possible broken leg and ribs. Overseas, the presumptive Democratic US presidential nominee Hillary Clinton has introduced her vice president pick, Virginian Senator Tim Kaine. The pair took to the stage in Miami. Mrs. Clinton says Mr. Kaine is ready.
He is qualified to step into this job and lead on day one. And he is a progressive who likes to get things done.
The Democratic National Convention is on next week in Philadelphia, where Mrs. Clinton is expected to formally be given the party's nomination. And after last weekend's failed military coup, the Turkish president has ordered the closure of more than 1,000 private schools and extended the period in which some suspects can be detained without charge in his first decree since declaring a three-month state of emergency. This is Air News. With just the processional ride in Paris left, Britain's Chris Froome has won the Tour de France. He didn't win the 20th stage, but his four-minute lead overall was never under threat. Here's the BBC's coverage of the final moments of the stage.
Froome knows this is almost it. He is going to win the Tour de France for a third time. And barring incident or accident, Chris Froome will become the first Briton to win back-to-back Tour de France. The yellow jersey crosses safely and Froome is the winner of the Tour.
St Kilda recorded their most important victory of the AFL season, taking down an undermanned Western Bulldogs by 15 points at Etihad Stadium, 11-9-75 to 9-6-60. They sit 8 points behind 8th place North Melbourne on the ladder and remain an outside chance of contesting finals this year. Last night, the Geelong Cats beat the Adelaide Crows by 30 points at Simmons Stadium. In rugby league, Melbourne Storm downed the Sydney Roosters last night at Amy Park, 26 points to 10. The victory gives Melbourne the provisional competition lead, although previous frontrunners Cronulla have the chance to go 2 points clear again this afternoon when they host Newcastle. And two brilliant saves in a penalty shootout from Lawrence Thomas has handed Melbourne victory, a 4-3 win over Juventus in the opening game of the International Champions Cup at the MCG. Australian Independent Radio News.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
sunny with patches of light frost in the outer west early this morning. Winds west to northwesterly, 15 to 20 kilometres an hour, becoming light in the late afternoon, and then coming from the north and northwesterly direction, 15 to 20 kilometres an hour in the evening. Large and powerful surf conditions, so be careful if you're rock fishing or swimming or surfing. A maximum on a sunny day in Sydney of 16 degrees, 0% chance of rain. So there's a positive, Raymond. Now, what about at Annandale? And let's head down to Albury.
Annandale, sunny in 16 as well, Jimmy. Unfortunately in Albury, gee, it's cold, just 1 degree at the moment. Heading for some rain today and a maximum temperature, Jim, of 9 degrees.
Ooh. When you're held up in traffic and the nerves are all strung up, imagine time out to relax with a glass of Sacred Hill wine. Try Sacred Hill Shiraz by De Bortoli. Here's the traffic.
Good morning. It's busiest at Sydney Airport at the moment. Mars Street and Airport Drive are both bumper to bumper, and the M5 is building heavily through the main tunnel. The Blue Mountains, we've got reports of black ice on the Great Western Highway in Mount Lammie. On Sydney's northern beaches, Motorvale Road's very slow westbound approaching the RSL. There are road closures and event clearways in the Rocks for Aroma Festival, and more in the Shire. Roads are closed in Sutherland, Cronulla, Gymea and Miranda for the Sutherland to surf. Don't miss the final days of Oz Design Furniture's massive stock take sale with up to 50% off store-wide and online. Visit ozdesignfurniture.com.au. Hurry, must end tomorrow. I'm Tim Govers on Sky Sports Radio.
Sky Sports Radio has every angle of racing covered. From midday, the National Racing Service has the crucial tab market movers. The ones that are firming are the ones that are easing. Tab market movers, only on Sky Sports Radio.
Whether you're building or renovating, before you decide on your choice of windows or doors, take a closer look
at Wideline's brand new website, where you'll find our UBeaut online quoting app.
Just upload your plans or tell us what you require and receive your free quote within 48 hours.
Even if it's only a few windows you need, we're here to help. No problems.
Wideline's quoting app is open 24 hours. You can even save your new quotes or edit old ones.
Time to take a closer look at WidelineWindowsAndDoors.com.au.
Everybody's talking at me.
When it comes to cars, everyone thinks they're an expert. But the real motoring experts, who judge Australia's best car awards, recently chose the Hyundai Accent as Australia's best light car. The Accent came out on top in value, design and on-road performance. And from just $15,990 drive away, you get a 5-star ANCAP safety rating, Bluetooth and iPod connectivity. Talk to your local dealer about the awarded Hyundai Accent today.
To go back.
And best serve of sport and racing. On Sky Sports Radio, it's time for the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Here's Ray Thomas and Jimmy Smith.
Yeah, welcome back to the program. Last hour of the show, our legend of the game today is Gary Badge Belcher. We'll have him up very shortly. Tabs Trent Lanscale with all the latest from the world of sports betting. We'll get a sports update from Tanya as well. Lots been happening around the globe and locally. Dean Bulldog Richie with all the latest. Scotty Foster from Steve Foster and Sons. And we'll give you a chance to get involved with the talk topic. It's gone gangbusters this morning on the back of Robbie Farah being dropped for the West Tigers. When has a sports person been dropped? There's a massive one still out there. The big one's still out there. We haven't got it yet.
We had one of the two we were hinting at. That was Shane Warne on the West Indies tour. Dropped for the fourth test, and it proved to be correct. They won that final test to level the series 2-2.
2-2, was it? Was that right?
I think so.
Lara got another 100.
Yeah, but they won the last test.
Yeah, 1353-53, that open line number. Get us on the SMS as well, 0419-SMS-BSB. That's 0419-767-272. And, of course, get us on the tweets. You can do that at Big Sports, W-E-N-D, at Big Sports, W-E-N-D. We've had this earlier, but Maurice Logue lost the ride on Sedapa and was replaced by Ron Quinn, who won the Golden Slipper. That was for Patrice. Good on you, Patrice. We had that a little bit. I'll use a line from Joel Kane yesterday. That's a hair don't, not a hair do. One of the best. That's obviously talking about your hair, I think, okay. Ray. Going back to our caller, George.
Yeah. Paul George, he could have had a CD.
No. Producer Tanya said no way.
Okay.
So if she says we can't do it. So
we can't give away these Peter Garrett CDs, can we?
Well, we can. You've just chosen not to do it. You've given away the rock songs and the...
I'm not too sure, actually.
Yeah. Hang on, Ned. Look, go look into the producers for support there, Raymond.
No, I was going to ask if I'd actually given one away, so...
Yeah, all right. Okay, we can
live,
put
now, live radio.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, now time to speak to our legend of the game. It's a great privilege. Some of the great guests we've had over the years have been fantastic over the years.
And you work with this man, Gary Belcher.
Very lucky enough to work with him.
Did your careers? You were playing the same time as Gary Belcher.
We didn't ever play against each other. And
okay.
To be honest, I don't think that would have worried Badge too much.
Yeah. Did you know Gary before you worked with him on Fox Sports?
Not really.
Okay.
Briefly had met him. But it's a great pleasure to welcome him to the program. He's our legend of the game. A three-time Dally M fullback, 15 test matches, 16 origins, and 148 games for the Canberra Raiders. He joins us on the line right now. G'day, Badge.
G'day, Jimmy. G'day, Ray. Yeah, Jimmy's
morning,
a bit
Gary.
Older than me.
And he looks at Gary, don't worry.
uphill into the bruise, Badge. Uphill into the bruise,
well,
me.
You're doing well.
I want to ask you, mate, let's go back to the start. We like to know how these great sports people get involved in their chosen sport. Mm-hmm. So how did you get involved in the game of rugby league?
I grew up in a rugby league area. I played the Souths in Brisbane, South Magpies.
Mm.
I just happened to live in Acacia Ridge in Brisbane, which is where the South Juniors kicked off a couple of years before I came along. And my father was a South fan, so it all worked out nicely. I just played backyard cricket, and played club footy and school cricket and whatever else until I got the chance to have a crack at the big boys.
Mm. Yeah, well, in 85, Gary, you played in a Wayne Bennett-coached Magpies side, which won the Brisbane Grand Final, and people like Mal Meninga and Peter Jackson were in that team. But just a few months later, you signed on the dotted line for Canberra. Why?
I'd had a fair bit of success in Brizzy, but I just couldn't crack the Queensland team. I played one game for Brisbane in the National Panasonic Cup. The year they won it, actually, 1983 or 84, I think it was 84.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I played the first game against South Sydney, and after that, Origin was selected, and Colin Scott got picked in. Look, Scotty was a great player, and he deserved all of his games at Origin level, but I just felt I couldn't get a crack, so I decided to head down south, and I was talking to a bunch of clubs, a heap of clubs, giving myself a rap there, but a few different clubs. Mal Meninga had already signed with the Raiders, and of course, as you said, we were teammates at South. Yep. And then after we won the grand final, he kind of sidled up to me and said, "Badge, what are you going to do? Where are you going to play?" And I said, "Nah, mate, I like North and they look all right and I don't mind the beach, so I might go to Manly." He said, "What about Canberra?" I said, "Oh, I'm not real keen about Canberra. It's a bit cold." And he said, "Oh, yeah, I don't care where you go, but if you're playing for anyone else, I'm going to belt you every time you play."
Well, that
didn't take much.
Exactly.
Very quickly.
How influential was he? The throwaway line there, but someone like Mal, you start to understand what he's like. I heard Brent Tate talking the other day about, you know, who gave them confidence to win those 10 straight Origin series. He immediately said Mal Meninga. Mal Meninga gave us that. What was he like? Because clearly he had those leadership qualities even as a, he would have been only a 25, 26-year-old man.
Yeah, Mal was a winner. We played 4 or 5 years together before that at South, before we went to Canberra. But he just has a real hard edge about him that he wants to win at all costs. He thinks it's really important that you get the best out of yourself. And so he brings that confidence with him. And because he was such a, not just because of his attitude, but because he was such a fabulous player too. When you look around the dressing room, you kind of went, look, we're pretty safe here. So yeah, interestingly for me, the other day when, not to digress too much, but Darren Lockyer named captain's captain, I thought that was wonderful. He completely deserved it. But my two captains at Australian level were Wally Lewis and Mal Meninga. And whenever I'm asked about leadership, those two guys embodied exactly, you know, for me. Wally was such a winner and such a great leader and knew exactly what he wanted his team to do. And Mal developed into that as well. And he was great to be alongside the big fella for all those years.
Yeah, no, as you said, Gary, they're both winners. And this move actually proved to be a winner for you because you went to Canberra and they were on the cusp of something pretty special in a couple of years. But you made mention of it earlier. This was your gateway into the Origin team that year.
Yeah. Well, I played... I didn't think I was playing much different than I was when I was in Brisbane, but Queensland lost the first State of Origin that year off the back of the losing series in 85, and mm-hmm. they decided to make changes. And they bought their... Normally, if you're going to make big changes, you bring in a couple of front rowers or halves, but they brought in me and Les Kiss, a fullback and a winger. He's going, geez, what are we going to do? And we lost it. Actually, lost the next two as well. We lost that series 3-0, but we must have made a bit of an impression because we both went away on the Kangaroo tour. And without the serious injuries poor Kissy got, I think he would have been around a lot longer as well.
Yeah, he's carved out a real career for himself in the rugby union world as well. Tell us about that 86 Kangaroo tour. Just a dream come true for a young guy. But you didn't get to play on the test matches. You had Gary Jack in front of you. How competitive was that on the tour, Gary?
I kind of conceded, I think. I think he won the Golden Boot that year.
Yeah.
Jimmy Jack was playing great footy. And I kind of realised that he was the number one unless he got injured. And he was going to be there. And that team was just, they won every game. Yeah. And we won every game on tour as well. And midweek we had a hell of a team too, but I got to say, I went away again in 90. I had a great tour in 1986 in hindsight because we played on Wednesday nights and then we partied a bit Wednesday night, Thursday night, and then the weekend came, so we got into it again, and then the test team or the weekend team, they'd play, so we got into it again with them, and then we had a couple of nights off and we played again on Wednesday, so we had a fantastic tour. Didn't feel like there was a hell of a lot of pressure on me. It's certainly not as much as the test players. Mm. So I don't think I was ever really close to breaking into that team. I was basically one of the extras on standby.
Yeah. Hey, Gary, we've had a few players of your era on this segment in recent months, and invariably the question gets asked, those famous Kangaroo tours that you went on in 86 and subsequently 1990, should rugby league revisit them again and give the younger players a chance to experience what you experienced, particularly in 86?
Well, I'd like them to have it. I don't think it's ever going to happen because of a bunch of reasons, and not only our own club commitments here, and you know, we went away for I think it was 11 weeks all up. The two times I went, but their season is underway over there now too. So that would make it a bit tricky too. No, sorry, they're playing the same season as us, aren't they?
Yeah.
So they're not playing, and I think that would make it a bit difficult to have all those club games and drag everyone back out again a few months after they finish their competition. But look, I'd. If there's any way we could replicate it or get close to it, I think it'd be magnificent. And I know the boost that it gives to the people in those rugby league areas in the north of England too.
Yeah.
We've got to remember, we haven't got a lot of strongholds of rugby league, have we? So we've got to nurture and
foster
look after those areas as much as we can.
Let's go back to clubland. 87, make the grand final, lose it to Manly. But 89, it's such a famous grand final for a lot of reasons. And I think everyone's second team was the Raiders. Yeah. Everyone was happy to see the Raiders win. I'll never forget, Badge, after the game, you staring down the barrel of a camera and screaming out, "Yes, Jacko, we did it," talking about your mate Peter Jackson. Is that your career highlight, winning that grand final, Gary?
Yeah, it is. It's always difficult when you have a few different levels of footy and different success, but it is. And I do get asked about that a fair bit, and people think because Peter Jackson had left the Raiders at the start of that or the end of the 88 and gone to the Broncos along with Sammy Vacco. I think people kind of thought I was having a bit of a crack at him, saying, "Mate, we won it and you should have been here." But what happened, Jacko, was he rang me that morning. We were at the staying at the Camperdown Travelodge as we used to do in Sydney every before every game we played up there.
Yeah.
He rang me, it must have been 10 in the morning. We were actually watching our under 23s or something play or one of the early games playing in the grand finals before we got on the bus, and he rang me and he must have had a big night. He's going, "Badge, when you win, you're gonna win. Make sure you say good day." And I said, "Yeah." And he said, No, make sure you do." He was into me. I'm going, "Yeah, righto, Jacko, let me go, I've got to go, mate." So it was right. It was just there. It was the front of mind when we finally got up. I thought, I got to say g'day to the big fella, and he was a thrill. He was a thrill for us as we were. I'm sure he wished he was here, but it was a magnificent game. Looking back, and we always thought we were a chance. We were underdogs, of course, but gee, I tell you what, whenever I look back at it, I actually feel sorry for my mates that play for Balmain.
Yeah,
you know, Blocker and Benny and Ciro. Jesus, I'll tell you what, we had a bit of luck there, didn't we?
Yeah.
You have to get
it. You've got to make your own luck too, Gary.
Of course you do. Yeah. And I'm not saying we weren't the best team, and we had to drag ourselves back from, I think it was 12-0 down or 12-2 down, but there was a couple of things. If they'd gone the other way, those poor Balmain blokes, they would have cracked it.
Got a try too, didn't you?
Got a meaty, yeah, that helps. But, you know, of course, a couple of really important ones came later on when Chica Ferguson scored to level it up, and then that famous Steve Jackson try in extra time that I think everyone's seen plenty of times.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Well, just back in 88, Gary, the Queensland won 3-0, but 89, obviously an unbelievable year for you with the grand final win, but again, that phenomenal Queensland team that went 3-0 back-to-back, and have you played in a better football team?
Oh, probably not, no. Although, you know, I played with some good sides at test level, of course, but it's hard, certainly not at state level.
And,
the records don't say it. We actually won 8 games in a row after we won the last two in 87 to win that series. We went away on that Mickey Mouse tour over to LA and played a game over there that we didn't realise it was serious until about half time. The 40s had us down by, I think it was 18 mil. But they count that for some reason.
Of course we do.
It was an exhibition game. So we're pretty proud that we won 8 games in a row. I think it's a pretty good achievement. But it kind of pales into insignificance now, doesn't it? Compare it to what the current Queensland team is doing. But yeah, we had a very good side. We had a really good side. And I think you've also got to give credit to how good that New South Wales team was.
Yes.
An up-and-coming young team. Players like Laurie and Bradley Clyde and Ricky coming through. But also they had this, and Glenn Lazarus, but they had a real core of hard seasoned players as well. So none of those games were real easy, that's for sure.
Best you played with, best you played against, and why?
Well, I've always found it difficult to split Wally and Mal and Alan Langer, and all three of them had their own special qualities. I have been really disappointed, I've got to say, that Mal and Alf weren't included in as immortals, and I thought, I think sometimes, I know Andrew Johns was a wonderful player, but Mal being the era before him, I really believe he should have been selected, and I hope that gets fixed up. I can't think of anyone else that, you know, has done much more than Mal has done. And what Alan Langer did it for a bloke of that size and for as long as he did it, the sort of footy that he coughed up, and he was just amazing at every level for so long. I think he's got to be amongst that in that category as well. So those three absolutely are the best opponents. There was a bunch of really good fullbacks in the Brisbane comp, and then of course when I came down to Sydney, Gary Jack was right up there. I always found Rowdy Shearer really difficult to play against. He was just such a fabulous player as well. And then we played together at state level. And but I'd have to say Gary Jack and that rivalry we had, it was pretty special.
Yeah, Gary, you had a brief flirtation with coaching, but that didn't last long, and end up with a role in the media, which I know you work alongside Jimmy on certain occasions. And
just to clear up, I work alongside Jimmy.
Okay.
So.
What's he like to work with, Gary? Seriously.
Oh, mate, he's the ultimate professional.
He
really
is, yeah. No, he's
very well prepared.
I'll vouch for that.
Very well prepared.
Yeah, coaching wasn't your thing, Gary, because you seem very at ease, very relaxed, and you seem to enjoy being in front of the camera.
Yeah, I wanted to get into and have a bit of a crack at the coaching, but I had 3 years at the Brisbane Broncos that didn't work out very well. And a few years as well with the Queensland Origin team, sort of in different roles there. I still really enjoy part of the coaching role. I think, if anything, I'd like to do the assistant coach's role. I just don't think I've got the 127 hours a week that some coaches have to dedicate to coaching, and it's all-encompassing. I admire those bikes. I don't know how they do it and how they do it long-term. It's just an incredibly busy and complex role, and it's turned into that, whereas I like just coaching people and trying to improve their day-to-day skills. So that's the side of it that I'd still like to do at some point. But the media is just, it just keeps ticking along, and I love it. I'm very fortunate to work at Fox Sports. They're great to work with. They're, I'm not just saying that just because I've got a job at the moment. I do enjoy turning up every day. I'm heading out to Shark Park later today. I was in Canberra last night, and I'm, just looking forward to to the game, and I do some work on radio as well. Mm. My own bit of a gig during the week, so that's that keeps me busy.
There's not too many athletes who announce their own retirement on their own news segment, is
Where
there?
Where did you dig that up,
mate? is that right? On the local Canberra news?
He's well prepared, Gary's well prepared.
Yeah, it was something like, well, I'm not sure whether to re-sign or resign.
Is that how it was? I think it was 93, speculation around whether you'll be at the Raiders, and so you announced it on your own news segment on the news.
I was doing a bit of a footy segment with the great Phil Lynch, who was a former basketball player.
Oh, yeah?
With Channel 7 in Canberra. So, yeah, I just come to the conclusion. I kind of had it in the back of my mind and hoped that we'd go all the way to the grand final and I could worry about it after that, but we got bundled out a couple of weeks early after we lost Ricky Stewart. It was a real shame that you were flying along until Ricky busted his ankle. And so I just thought, I'll throw it on my segment there. And
You gave yourself a scoop.
Forgave myself. That's the only scoop I've had in my whole career.
I don't believe you. Hey, Badgett, we've got the news chasing us and advertising commitments. It's great having a chat. Mm. Fantastic career. And I'll look forward to chatting to you from the Sunday Ticket today for today's match.
Shameless plug.
Yeah, good on you, mate. I'll talk to you later, Jimmy. Thanks, guys.
Thanks a lot, Gary.
There he is, Gary Belcher, three-time Dally M fullback of the year.
Wonderful play.
15 straight games for the Kangaroos, and of course was the fullback for the Kangaroos on that 1990 tour.
Wonderful
tour.
Play.
Yeah.
Hey, Jimmy, Don from Carlton, who doesn't like CDs, he's nailed it. Don Bradman was dropped. The 12th man after scoring 18-1 in his test debut in the first test against England in 28-29. Don from Carlton's
there United. It is.
Yep.
There it is, the big one. And we might have had that a little bit earlier from Eagle-Eyed Phil, but Eagle-Eyed Phil...
He'd already won
a prize, so we couldn't give you another one. well done, Don. You didn't get the correct score in the Storm versus Roosters game, but you got the correct one there. 1353 53 is the open line number. Big thanks to Gary Belcher giving up his time here this morning. We do appreciate it. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more.
What you really need is a four-door standard.
You can't go wrong with a four-wheel drive.
Leather heated leather seat.
Go for the car with the biggest cup holder.
When it comes to cars, every man and his dog thinks they're experts. But the real motoring experts, the ones who judge Australia's best car awards, recently chose the Hyundai i30 as Australia's best small car for an incredible sixth time. Right now, you can get Australia's favourite car, the Hyundai i30, from just $20,990 drive away. Talk to your Hyundai dealer today.
With recent increases in New South Wales prize money, there's no better time to be breeding your mares. And there's no better place to discover some of the best value sires in New South Wales than at Coringle Stud. Joining the Coringle roster in 2016 is the extremely successful and versatile Magic Albert. To find out more, call Angus Lamont on 0429 842 875 or visit coringlestud.com.au. The magic continues at Coringle.
This truly magical thoroughbred Able Friend going to win the Champions Bowl in an absolute hand canter. That's the world's best.
Hong Kong, Singapore, Japan, Korea. The best of Asian racing. Live and exclusive to Sky Racing.
Sundays just don't feel right without a dose of the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend on Sky Sports Radio.
Welcome back to the program, 1353-53, the open line number. Callers wanting to have their say on this great talk topic. Outstanding, Raymond.
Jeez.
Absolutely outstanding. Speaking of outstanding, Trent Lenscow from tab.com.au.
Yes.
Morning, Trent.
Good morning to you, Jimmy. Good morning, Ray.
How are you, Trent?
Yeah, going well, thank you.
Three games to complete round 20 of the National Rugby League. Let's take us down to Shark Park or Southern Cross Group Stadium. I reckon, is this the shortest price of the year?
Pretty close here, Jimmy. And it was similar a few weeks ago when Canberra played Newcastle. It's about the same. Cronulla, $1.08. Newcastle, $8. The line is 24.5 for the 2 o'clock kickoff there at Shark Park. So in the margin betting, obviously Cronulla by 13+, pretty short, $1.26. And by one to 1-12 at $4.50. You've got the Knights by 1-12 at $11 and 13 plus at 34. And the first try scorer dominated by Sharks players. You've got Valentine Holmes, a $5 favourite. Sasaya Fecky at 6. Ben Barber at 7. And Jack Byrne at 9. So the Sharks expected to be far too good for the Knights there. 4 o'clock at ANZ Stadium. A lot spoken about this match, particularly with what was happening yesterday. You've got St George Illawarra, $2.60. And West Tigers, $1.50. The line is 5.5. And fellas, there hasn't been too much change since what the news on Wednesday night about Robbie Farah being demoted to the reserve grade. In the margin betting, you've got West Tigers by 1-12 and 13 plus. Both of those options, $2.85. The Dragons by 1-12 at $3.85 and 13 plus at $6.50. James Tedesco, the $8 favourite to score the first try. You've got Kurt Mann at 9, and then Jason Nightingale and David Nofaluma amongst those at $10. And then tomorrow night's match at Allianz Stadium, South $2.15 and Manly $1.70. The Sea Eagles are giving away a 2.5-point start.
Hey, Trent, you're wearing your Hawthorn jumper and scarf?
I am, Ray. I'll be on
the... You're going to the G?
I'll be there today.
You'll
It'll
be
a, G. a brisk 11 and looking forward to perhaps catching a sore throat as well. But anyway, we'll see what happens. But the earlier of the three matches in round 18 of the AFL, good seats will be available for this one. The one-win Essendon, $1.45, and the one-win Brisbane, $2.75.
Horrendous, isn't it?
Yeah. And the line there, 15.5. So that's the 1-10 match at Etihad Stadium. The Bombers to win by under 39.5, the favourite option at $2.50. $3.20 at the MCG. Hawthorn $1.16. Richmond $5.25. The line there is 36.5. So the Hawks to win by over 39.5 points. The favourite way at $2. And then a big match at the Adelaide Oval, a 4.40 start. You've got Port Adelaide $2.15 and GWS $1.70. They have been easy throughout the week. The line there is 5.5. You've got the Power battling for a final spot. And the Giants fellas, if they happen to win today, they could go right up to second. So that's just how close it is in the AFL at the moment. They're seventh right now. They win today, they go up to second, and they're behind Hawthorn.
What price that Essendon-Brisbane game's a 17-all draw?
I think there'll be a bit of scoring there, but it's not going to be pretty, I'll just say that much. Just some other sports. We've got the ANZ Championship semi-finals. They're starting this afternoon, well, just after midday. The Queensland Firebirds are $1.10 and the Southern Steel $6.25. And then tomorrow, just before 6 o'clock, the New South Wales Swifts, even though they've gone across the Tasman, they're $1.18 favourites when they play the Waikato Bay of Plenty Magic at $4.50. Not forgetting the Australians, they're starting a test series, a three-test series against Sri Lanka on Tuesday afternoon. That's crept up there. They are the $1.80 favourites to win the first test, and there's other sport happening, including the Hungarian Formula One Grand Prix at 10 o'clock tonight. So there's still plenty on. Be rugged up in front. You can watch Jimmy, obviously, on Fox Sports with the Sunday ticket there from 1:30. To check out all the markets on offer, you can head to tab.com.au.
Well done, Trent. Just, shameless plug.
Yeah,
well
good
done.
On you. I know you won't be watching that. You'll be watching Hawthorn out at the MCG. Yeah. Yeah, fair enough. Good on you, Trent. Always comprehensive.
Thanks, fellas.
Good on you, Trent.
And does a great job. Trent Lanescale from tab.com.au. Time now for our second question in the Event Cinemas quiz. We've got the double pass to the VMAX, courtesy of Prakash and the team out there at Event Cinemas at Parramatta. Where did the Canberra Raiders stay during their finals campaign of 1989? Gary Belcher made mention of it. Where did the Canberra Raiders stay during their finals campaign in 1989? So there's your second question. Third question coming up later this hour as well. But it's time now for this.
Yes. On the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, with a sports update, here's Tanya Thomas.
Melbourne has taken the provisional lead atop the NRL table after a 26-10 win over the Roosters last night at Amy Park, but they were pushed with the Storm scoring two late tries. The Gold Coast ended Parramatta's season, recording its third home win in a row, knocking the Eels over 34-14. The Titans now in seventh position on the table and a whisper of a final spot for the first time in 6 years. Canberra is into the top four with a 26-22 win over the Warriors. Jared Croker scoring three tries, the final one in Golden Point extra time. Today, Cronulla host Newcastle at 2 o'clock. St George Illawarra versus the West Tigers at ANZ at 4. Tomorrow night, South and Manly also at ANZ. In Super Rugby quarterfinals last night, the Hurricanes thrashed the Sharks 41-0. Lions 42 beat the Crusaders 25. The Chiefs 60 beat the Stormers 21. And the Brumbies went down to the Highlanders on Friday night. In the AFL, Geelong beat Adelaide by 30 points, breaking breaking the Crows' 8-game winning streak. St Kilda beat an undermanned Western Bulldogs by 15. The West Coast 66 beat Melbourne 60. Gold Coast 105, Fremantle 81. And early in the day, the Swans survived a scare, getting up against a gallant Carlton by 6 points at ANZ 74-68. Today, GWS is away to Port Adelaide. Ladder leaders Hawthorne play Richmond and Essendon host Brisbane. At the International Champions Cup last night at the MCG, after a one-all scoreline between Melbourne Victory and Juventus, Victory won the match 4-3 in the penalty shootout. 16-year-old Sebastian Pasquale scored Victory's decisive 15th penalty goal there. It was unfortunately a very small crowd that attended. Just over 23,000 were scattered around the vast MCG, some punters paying up to $200 for a ticket. Chris Froome is set to become the first Brit to win 3 Tour de France titles after a rainy and treacherous penultimate stage overnight. He leads by 4 minutes and 5 seconds overall, and as tradition dictates, will not be contested on the final stage into Paris tonight. The Queensland Firebirds host the Southern Steel in Brisbane in the ANZ Netball Championship semi-final today at midday, while tomorrow night it's the Sydney Swifts taking on New Zealand conference winners Waikato Bay of Plenty Magic. That's the other semi in Hamilton. Shani Layton will play her 100th ANZ Championship match there, and the winners obviously to meet in the grand final next Sunday. Third round of the Canadian Golf Open, and Jason Day after a disastrous second round. He shot a 76 yesterday. He shot a 69 this morning. He's 7 off the lead though, which is Brant Snedeker at 9 under. In a tie for second at 8 under is Dustin Johnson and amateur Jared Dutoit, who's a local boy. He finished his round with an eagle on the 18th. That's how you want to finish, isn't it? Just in Olympic news, boys, Usain Bolt, after pulling out of the Jamaican Olympic trials with a hamstring injury, had his first run in London. He says he's not fully in shape. He needs some more work over time, but he'll be fine. He won that 200 metres overnight. Also at that meet, Kenny Harrison, who broke the record in the women's 100 metre hurdles. That record had been held for 28 years.
Wow.
Yet still, she didn't make the Olympic team, the American Olympic team. Oh. That's how tough it is to get into that team.
The pressure got to her in the trials.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Sixth, you're in.
But the big news is the IOC tonight will announce whether or not Russia will be allowed to field a full team in Rio. We know that their track and field team has been kicked out.
Mm.
I heard an interview with John Faye yesterday, and he said emphatically that they should not be there, and pretty much everyone else says the same thing.
No.
Ultimately, it is the IOC's decision because it's their tournament.
Yes.
So despite what everyone else says, it's their decision. Thomas Bach, who is the president of the IOC, it's going to be a big decision for him, perhaps define his term, as they say,
yeah,
as the president there. And he said that there were 3 major reports done in the Russian systemic doping there, one of them by a gentleman, I think, John McLaren. And in that report, Thomas Bach said that it was a shocking and unprecedented attack on the integrity of sport and on the Olympic Games. So from that, you would get an idea of how he's feeling. And pretty much I'd say they're not going to be able to make it. We're not going to be able to be invited there.
Yeah, Tam, Jimmy's point is that the clean athletes should be allowed to go. But Jimmy, how do you know if they're clean? If it's systemic right through the Russian system, how are you ever going to find...
But aren't there Russian athletes outside the Russian system?
Well,
aren't they Russian?
Not representing Russia, though.
Yeah, they just don't train within that system. So
if there's a way to test them and they can be proven to be clean, they probably deserve to go. But if it's systemic right through Russian athletics and Russian sports...
There's no doubt it's rotten.
You have to say they can't go.
No doubt it's rotten there. Mm. You just wonder what the political fallout's
huge.
Going to be.
Huge. Vladimir's, yeah. He's sitting in his office now, getting ready for his onslaught. That. But if they are allowed to compete, what does that say about an organisation like WADA? It means it's irrelevant.
Yeah. Toothless, aren't they? Mm. Yeah. And John Faye's well placed to make comment on that, having been a former boss. Just out of interest, I wish I was as out of shape as Usain Bolt. He's in very good shape. Speaking of sitting in his office and about to explode, Dean Bulldog Richie with all of those news from Rugby League coming up next.
Texts and emails on the Big Sports Breakfast are brought to you by the Wideline Windows and Doors 24/7 online quoting app. Take a closer look at wideline.com.au. Send Sky Sports Radio a message by email. Any person, any program, any matter. One email address will find us all. Go to skysportsradio.com.au, click feedback and follow the prompts. It's that easy.
Most say Hong Kong. We say Honkers. Now it's your chance to experience a trip of a lifetime, departing December 6th with Ambassador Travel. You'll experience the world-class racing in five-star luxury.
I guarantee you, a Wednesday night you'll never forget.
That's racing under lights among the skyscrapers of Happy Valley. This unique experience, all unfolding from the luxury of your private corporate box. Catch your breath and it's on again. The big one, the World Championship of Turf at Sha Tin on Sunday, December 11. There's the shopping, extensions to Beijing or Shanghai, and golf at Mission Hills.
Call Ambassador Travel now, 1-800-777-989, or visit
ambassadortravel.com.au.
Joe McKinnon here. Yarramalong Racing Club is the most affordable way to get into racehorse ownership. Have fun. Join me racing 33 horses by stallions like So You Think, Hinchinbrook, Sebring and Stratum. Experience glamour and excitement. Racing with leading trainers Mick Pryor, Nick Ken, James Cumming, John Thompson, Bjorn Baker and David Van Dyke. Minimum subscription $2,000 with no more to pay. See the Yarramalong Racing Club prospectus online at yrclub.com.au. You.
For the best price on a new Mazda, go and see the man. What man, Jimmy? The man from Mazda.
To be honest, I don't know how I work under these conditions. I've just been berated by producer Jeremy. No, came
he was
into the
just
program.
Giving a pep talk to
pep talk. That's
finish
what you
that
call
last
it now.
Half hour on
pep
an up.
Talk.
Yeah, this is important, Jimmy.
I know.
Our friends.
You know what I saw the other day?
Yeah.
A Mazda BT50.
Are you going to buy one unit or?
Gee, I like them. I really like them. Yeah. I'm just trying to work out how functional they'll be. I reckon just throw the kids in the back.
What time are you on Sunday ticket?
1:30.
Plenty of time to duck out to Penrith Mazda Centre. It's family owned and operated. So, Jimmy, with the best selection, the best prices on all new Mazdas, including your favourite, the BT50.
Yep.
Because the BT50 range gives you more grunt, more torque, and more comfort.
It is.
So you got time, Jimmy. Come and see the BT50 specialists at the Mazda Ute Centre, Penrith, with over 40 BT50s on display. At Penrith Mazda Centre, Mulgoa Road, Penrith, MD18808.
On Sky Sports Radio, your weekend is packed with sporting news from around the country and around the world. This is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
Now, we've been having Dean Ritchie on this program for what, the last 6 or 7 years?
Regular.
Maybe even more than that. It was my understanding that it was an exclusive agreement that we had Dean under to give us all the latest in the news of the world of rugby league.
Correct.
And yet, my spies tell me that he was moonlighting on another radio station, giving up some valued information before it came to us here first. Let's
Dean,
find out
tell
if that's
me
the
this
case.
Isn't true.
Dean, is that right?
Wait, what about you two? Never known two blokes to moonlight more.
Great comeback.
This is an outrage.
great
comeback. Where you turn, Jimmy, just on the radio or online or Big League or Fox Sports, Channel 9. Is there any place you don't work, Jimmy?
There's a couple, but I'm working on them, Dean.
Right. Right.
Dean, Robbie Farah. Well, how do you see this one playing out? How much pressure on not just the coach, but on the club, the West Tigers today in the big game against the Dragons?
Yeah, it looks certainly extraordinary scenes at Leichhardt yesterday. Mm. Men, fans running on the field, Robbie Farah in tears, the fans chanting for Jason Taylor's demise, signs around the ground. Certainly, it was just extraordinary stuff that it actually reached this level of angst between two, obviously, playmakers, if that's what you want to call it, at a club, a coach and a captain. Look, Jason Taylor, I'll give him some credit, guys. He's shown a lot of gumption to make this call. He's shown a lot of backbone. He knew there would be uproar. He knew there'd be backlash. But look, he went ahead and did it. I guess in JT's mind, his job's on the line. If he doesn't make the semis this year or next, he's probably gone. So I'm imagining he's thinking, well, look, you know, if I'm going to go, at least I'll go on my terms, as in the team that I want to pick, not what other people want to pick.
So much rest in this game, isn't there? Not just from the Tigers' point of view, but also from St George Illawarra Dragons and the Oust-Doust campaigns gaining momentum yet again. Your story in the Sunday Telegraph this morning, I'm interested. The Dragons are cashed up, supposedly, and on the hunt for Jared Hayne, Tony Williams, Corey Norman, Robbie Farah. Two things, Dino. The St George Illawarra campaign to oust, how much momentum has it got, and where's the money coming from?
Well, firstly, Ray, that the oust-oust campaign, it seems to rise up every year. Look, no doubt the Dragons are struggling. I spoke to Paul McGregor 2 days ago, though, and Mary made some very valid points, saying, look, you know, we're still equal seventh or eighth. Most thought we'd be running last. We made the semis last year. Our juniors are strong. He said, look, it's, you know, there's a lot of strong elements still at the club, and just losing a couple of games doesn't, in his eyes, entitle the social media to go into meltdown through criticism. As for Dousty, mate, well, look, Peter Dowst has been there for a long time. I think he's just about the longest-serving CEO. He seems to have the support of the board down there, and every year the Oust campaign comes, but as quick as it comes, guys, it seems to vanish as well. Look, this time, maybe there's more to it, but he's certainly a survivor, Peter Dowst.
Nothing that wins won't fix, and that's the case for most rugby league clubs. Dino, the Stephen Dank story, we haven't really touched on it much. We spoke about it a little bit earlier, but it just seems strange. Do we have any idea of who would be in a position to want Stephen Dank dead?
Well, Jimmy, if you hear the reports out of Melbourne overnight, and I've been monitoring this story, there have been reports that Dank was about to go public with some inflammatory comments.
In regards to what, do we know?
I'm hearing either the AFL and or NRL. So if you put two and two together here, Jimmy, you'd think that someone doesn't want whatever Stephen Dank was going to say made public. Look, it's a terrible situation that it's come to this. I mean, it's still a sports story, and we don't want to see anyone dying over this, particularly, a bloke murdered. Let's be honest, it's a horrible word to say, but that's what they were trying to do to him. They were trying to murder him last night. The night before, rather. And, look, it shouldn't get to this, but obviously whatever's in Stephen Dank's head, some people out there don't want it to be made public.
The story just keeps on giving, isn't it, Dino, for all the wrong reasons?
Yeah.
Dino, three games left in the NRL this round. Any team changes, of the firstly Sharks and Knights?
Yeah, it's fairly quiet around the traps today, Ray. That's the 2 o'clock game down there at Shark Park. The only possible change for the Sharks would be James Maloney. He's got a groin injury. He is in some doubt, but they do think he will play. And as for the Knights, Dane Gagai had a quad injury, and they too, as in the Knights, think that he will pass fit, and that would make them 1-17. And there's that big game, of course, which we discussed, the Dragons and the Tigers, 4 o'clock, ANZ Stadium. It's Benji Marshall's 250th game. It's been overlooked a bit this week because of the Robbie Farah situation. It was supposed to be last week. Benji pulled out injured, but look, that's a stellar effort for any player to reach 250 in the NRL. And as for the Tigers, we expect that Joel Edwards, he was the 18th man, I think you'll find he'll come into the side somewhere to play a bit of dummy half. And there's the Monday night game. It's South versus Manly. It's at Allianz Stadium. Adam Reynolds is back to play, guys. Look, he's had bad neck injury. He's in a bit of pain. He's put off surgery, so Reynolds showing a fair bit of courage to try to reignite this South Sydney side. It looks like their finals campaign is over, but he will play in this game. And at this point, Manly have no changes as yet. They should be 1-17.
His teammates and his coach will appreciate that. So well done, Adam Reynolds, on fronting up for that one. Men of League Round, of course, this round 20, the great organisation that up to date have given out $4.5 million to families and individuals in need in the rugby league community. Speaking of Rugby League World Cup, back page yesterday, claims of scalping Michael Brown, who quits over a voicemail message that he left. Your thoughts on that end, the fact that Sydney's only got the two games, Dean?
Yeah, it was another extraordinary story. Rugby League just keeps giving when it comes to headlines and drama. I found the Corey Payne situation a little unusual, that he would put out a press release which was stated, we're sorry. It was like an apology that Western Sydney didn't get a game. Look, for Corey, in his own mind, thought he was doing the right thing and was, I guess, sticking up for his patch out there in Sydney's West. But it obviously certainly inflamed Michael Brown, the boss of the World Cup. The message left on Corey Payne's answering machine, I'm hearing, was very forceful, and there were certainly some physical threats.
Well, you can't do that.
Well, you can't do it, Jimmy. No. Look, Todd Greenberg got wind of it. Yep. He saw the transcript, and basically Brown's time had come. Mm. Aside from that, guys, we're only 18 months out from the World Cup, so to lose the head of the tournament, with 18 months to go, it's a big blow. We need this World Cup to be successful. We know rugby league isn't enormous internationally, so we've just got to get it right, and this is certainly a blow.
Any other news around, mate?
Yeah, as Ray touched on before, I'll just go through a couple of bits and pieces with the Dragons. The Corey Norman, they are chasing him. It's a three-year deal, guys. I'm told it's worth about $2.4 million. The Dragons think that Corey could move to Wollongong and just get out of the bright lights of Sydney. My mail is, though, that Corey wants to stay loyal to Parramatta and certainly to Brad Arthur. So if the Dragons do miss Corey, guys, they'll go straight for Jared Hayne. It'll be the first call that they make. They think Hayne would be a superstar down there. The Gold Coast this week also formally made contact with Wayne Beavis about Hayne. So the chase for Jared Hayne is on. Mm. Of course, he has been trying to be poached by Rugby Union, but he can't become a Wallaby. Mm. So it would only be for the Waratahs. So whether that's a turn-off for Jared, I guess time will tell. And just a bit more news out of Manly. Overnight, Salford announced that they had signed for Letty Mateo and Luke Burgess. Those boys will actually leave Manly in the next week or so, and I'll link up with Salford straight away. And just finally, guys, more bad news for the Broncos. Josh Maguire, Sam Thaiday, they've been charged with carryover points. If they do plead guilty, they'll certainly miss at least one game, so that would put them out of the Roosters match next week, which is another blow for the Broncos, who are really, really struggling.
Did you divulge any of this news earlier on Sydney radio station, Dan?
No, see, this is what happened next week, Jimmy.
Yeah.
I'll go on to Hadley's show and give the changes in inverted commas.
Yeah.
But not all of them.
Well done, Dino.
If you want the real changes,
love it, Dino.
Sunday morning, 8:40. That's when you'll get your real changes.
Dean Bulldog Ritchie, restoring rock my solid faith in rock human solid beings.
I'll give Hadley the wrong teams, the wrong times, the wrong names. I'll have five Churchill in down.
But Hadley might give it to you then, Dino.
You'll be right, Dino.
Dragons.
You got to know where your bread's buttered, Dino.
Exactly.
Good on you, well done. Good on you, mate. Have a great day.
All right, man. You too. Cheers.
See you, Dino.
Dean Bulldog Ritchie, exclusive.
That was the answer you're looking for, wasn't it, Jimmy?
For the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend program. We do appreciate that, Dino. 1353 is the open line number. We're going to take a quick break and then we'll be back. We'll take some calls, I reckon. We've got more calls on the line there about this great talk topic.
Mum, it's that time again.
What time?
When there's so much to watch on television, there's a carnival of coverage.
Lano, this is Australia. We say carnival.
Well, that's how I say it.
Can you say 4K TVs?
4K TVs.
If you buy one this month at Bing Lee, you'll get 10% Bing Lee bonus card.
On the spot.
With any LG or Sony 4K TV.
A Bing Lee bonus card worth 10% of the value of your purchase. That's a great deal.
There's a great deal more in store.
And a great deal to watch on telly.
Offer ends July 31. See binglee.com.au for terms and conditions.
In a moment, the traffic. A wise woman once said, a successful man is one who makes more money than his wife can spend. A successful woman is one who can find such a man. A successful wine is one which everyone can afford. Try Windy Peak by the Bortley. Affordable quality. Here's the traffic.
Good morning. In Roseville, a car's hit the traffic lights, Eastern Valley Way at Boundary Street. The lights are blacked out now. Traffic affected both ways. General Holmes Drive, very heavy southbound to the M5 East, which is crawling to Marsh Street. All roads approaching the International Terminal are bumper to bumper, and the M5 from the main tunnel is crawling inbound. The Sutherland to Surf is underway with the Kingsway closed eastbound. Those road closures will be starting to be lifted from the start now, but the race doesn't finish till 10. Sydney Boat Show opens Thursday. Recreational boating at its best. Harbour and Glebe Island with a free ferry between the two. Plan your visit at sydneyboatshow.com.au. I'm Tim Govers on Sky Sports Radio.
Sluts and I have done it. Now it's your turn. That's right. Book now for the International Race Week in Hong Kong. Leaving December 6th, all the details are looked after by Ambassador Travel.
It's first class all the way.
Private corporate boxes at Happy Valley on Wednesday night and also for International Day at Sha Tin on Sunday. Hopefully with Chautauqua to conquer the world again in the spring. There's tours galore, including Macau, or venture up to Mission Hills for some golf. In between, grab all the bargains and knock over the Christmas shopping. You can also extend to mainland China.
Call Ambassador Travel now. 1-800-777-989
or log on to ambassadortravel.com.au.
With all the goss on your sport and your team, you're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend on Sky Sports Radio.
Time now to speak to Scotty Foster from Steve Foster and Sons. We do it every Sunday morning. If there is a Third question. Okay. Producer Jeremy waving at me drastically.
And the third question is?
Who did Dean Ritchie say would be included in the Rabbitohs side, according to his report on 2GB next week?
Lazarus, come back.
Who did Dean Ritchie say would be included in the Rabbitohs team, according to his report on... Remember, we get the good oil here on the Big Sports Breakfast weekend. You're looking forward to the call, Ray? You'll get a call through, will we? 1353-53, the open line number. Scotty Foster here from Steve Foster and Sons. Hello, Scotty.
Good morning, Jimmy, and hello, Ray. How are you?
Yeah, morning, really Scotty. Well, mate. Now, I was in a Toyota Corolla yesterday. Mm-hmm. Very good cars. Very good cars. You got a good one for the listeners here, mate?
I certainly have. And, boys, we advertised a near new one last week, but today I've got something for the first car buyers. It's a 2004 Toyota Corolla automatic, four-cylinder sedan. So I don't have to remind everyone that the Corolla is the most popular small car on the market due to their reliability, safety and economy. They're powered by a 1.8-litre engine and a four-speed automatic transmission. They are very easy to drive, very easy to maintain, and the maintenance is as cheap as you will get. This one comes with logbooks and service history, and it will sell very quickly. It's just $6,990 drive away. So go to the website, www.fosterscualitycars.com.au, because that is a cheap car, and it will be the perfect first car for anyone that's looking for their first car.
Yeah, it sounds terrific, Scotty, and we mustn't forget the finance packages that you have available as well, mate.
Yes, we're helping a lot of people that couldn't previously get finance get into a car. So if you've got credit issues, or if you've had credit issues in the past, then now is the time to call. If you're on a pension, if you have paid or unpaid defaults, you're starting a new business and need a work vehicle, even Uber driving. We're getting a lot of Uber drivers into vehicles at the moment.
Yeah, right.
Go to our website, www.fosterscualitycars.com.au. Click on the finance link because we can help you get into a vehicle now.
Fantastic. My mate Chris Yates was in charge of the Ron Massey Cup rep side.
Yeah, he is. He's up in Queensland. They're playing today, the New South Wales team. They take on the Queensland representative side at Burleigh Heads. So good luck to the New South Wales boys. I hope they go well.
Yeah, absolutely.
The winning New South Wales Cup, they travel up to Wyong today to take on the Roos at 3 p.m.
Ooh.
And they want to keep their winning run going so they can keep in touch with the top eight. There are only 2 points off that at the moment. So the boys still hopeful of playing semi-final football.
Ah, good on you, Scotty.
And we've got to give a big shout-out to the women, the New South Wales Blues, who had a win against the Queensland side. First time in 17 years.
Drought's broken.
Yeah, 8-4. Hope we don't have to wait 17 years for the men's side of things. Anyway, no. Scotty, you've done a great job, mate.
All right, boys. Will you have a good day?
Good on you, Scotty.
And we'll speak again next week.
We will. See you later.
All right.
See you,
mate. Cheers, mate. 2004 Toyota Corolla. Check it out online. fosterscualitycars.com.au. John from Blackbutt is our Event Cinemas winner. Good on you, John. You've had a win there. We had our questions. How many years did Master Monkey been happily married? Four, according to Monkey. He's been married for 45 years, but married for four.
We still want to hear from Mrs. Monkey.
Canberra Raiders stayed at Camperdown in 1989, courtesy of Gary Belcher. And Clive Churchill, according to Dean Ritchie's report, next week on 2GB would be included in the South Sydney side. Your topic has gone gangbusters this morning, Raymond.
A couple more people here.
Yeah, Lucky Phil wants to get in. G'day, Lucky Phil.
Good morning, Ray and Jimmy.
Morning, Phil.
One of the biggest sport and flops, I reckon, flop drops, you know, you were talking about this morning, was in 1994, I reckon, when Shane Dye knocked the ride back on Jern in the Melbourne
Cup.
Yeah,
no, good point. He had the opportunity to ride that horse. He rode Coachwood instead for Lloyd Williams, didn't he?
Yeah, he could have rode Coachwood, Lloyd Williams or Jern, but anyway.
Yeah, and Wayne Harris picked up the ride, didn't he?
Yeah, what I was going to tell you about, boys, 10 years before that, in 1984, I picked Wayne Harris up from the late, great trainer Ray Wallace's stables over at Broadmeadow. Do you ever remember Ray Wallace?
Yes, yeah.
He was a great trainer. And, you know, when you look at the training success of him, he'd set a horse from Newcastle to win in Sydney, and it often, you know, nearly always win. But he had two apprentices in his stables, Paul Perry and Max Lees, who ended up
winning.
Oh, wow. Two of the best trainers we've ever had in Newcastle here. But I had to pick Wayne up in 1984. He'd not long come out of hospital with his first brain tumour operation.
Mm.
And I brought him over to West League's gym there, and I was giving him a bit of training. And anyway, he come up to my place there, not far from the gym, and I had a wishing well in my backyard. Anyway, Wayne threw 5 cents in my wishing well, and anyway, me dear old late great mum, she said to Wayne, "What did you wish for, Wayne?" He said, "Well, I know the doctors have just told me that I'll never be able to ride again because my balance will never come back after the brain tumour operation, but," he said, "I just wish that one day I could get better and win a Melbourne Cup."
He did. 10 years later, he did. Yeah,
ah, the great good Wayne story. Yeah. Good story. Yeah, fantastic. Good on you, Lucky Phil. We do appreciate that. Sorry to other callers that we couldn't get to. Too tight for time on that one. But great topic, Raymond. So you're a winner already.
Outstanding.
Today, have you got another win for the listeners? You got it last week with the Panthers 1-12.
Look, made my heart swing my head here. St George 1-12.
What?
Yes.
You and Andrew
Back
Martin.
To the wall,
you
club.
And Andrew Martin. $3.85, that's paying at tab.com.
Great odds.
I'm going to go head-to-head with you, Raymond.
Okay.
West Tigers, 13 plus.
What is that paying?
$2.85.
Okay. All right, $2.85.